2022, and be a good opportunity. I know it's a smaller group, so you shouldn't feel intimidated by a larger crowd and that. But who has a testimony to share tonight? Any special blessings over Christmas or the holidays or what you're looking forward to in 2022? And tonight, an opportunity to testify of the good things the Lord had done. Okay, Phyllis? Yeah. Sure. Amen. Amazing, isn't it? God puts that in the heart of a child. And when they pray, I love listening to children pray. And what is so genuine, is so sincere, it's right from the heart. And I think that's really good. And so, yeah, that's really good. We get together with ours and we'll say, well, who's praying tonight? And that, so many times one of the grandkids will say, well, I'll pray. And sometimes they almost fight over it, who's going to pray. And I say, hey, guys, you don't have to fight over it. And I think we've even done it, too, where if two of you want to pray, go ahead and pray. And we'll just have the food double blessed in that. So somebody else, testimony tonight or something you're thankful for coming out of 2021? Okay. Yeah. They know it. Yeah. That's good. Sometimes the only gospel these people see is what they see in you, and they'll recognize that and respect that and so that's a good thing. So praise the Lord. And that you're planting seed along the way just by what you do, what you say, how you act along the way, and that's a great way to look at it. Somebody else tonight? Give you an opportunity. What are you looking forward to in 2022? Anybody? I'm going to, part of my message tonight deals with some of that, so we'll get to that and that. But anything jump out 2022 that you're praying for, looking forward to? Okay, Don? For good health, okay? And for good health, there you go, praying for good health in 2022. You know, that's really true. There's a lot of blessings that we could all make a long list of blessings, but if you lose your health and that, it really makes the struggle even much, much harder. And so, yeah, praying for good health and then making sure we make wise decisions along the way that can contribute to allowing us to have good health in that. So, yes, sir, Brother Art. More stable environment, okay. Yeah, I would say it's been a rocky road here the last couple of years. And so I think it's a good thing to have stability and things evened out. And hopefully, you know, I everywhere I go, I hear people say, we just want to get back to normal. What's normal? Well, let's get back to before March of 2020, whatever normal is to you, and getting there. So, yeah, absolutely. And a more stable environment in a lot of ways. There's could be a lot of things contribute to the lack of stability, but I think the American people, they want stability. I know in the church, you know, I don't know about you. You know, some people like the highs and lows of living, the highs and lows of life. I never have. I've always just been kind of, down the middle, you know, trying to level it out. I don't like to go from extreme high to extreme low, extreme low to extreme high. and just enjoy life and get stability and that in there. So, okay, what else? 2022, what are you looking forward to this year in 2022? Anything? All right, then go in your Bible, Luke chapter 11, and I'll try to answer some of that question for you tonight in the message. We're going to start here in Luke chapter 11, but the title of the message tonight is the Prayer of Jabez. And I always try to, you know, if I can, remember that in the beginning of a new year, think about there was a man in an honorable man by the name of Jabez, J-A-B-E-Z. And so we're going to look at the Prayer of Jabez, but before we get to that, and this is kind of leads into it, when you get to the Gospel of Luke, it talks about here in Luke chapter 11, then we're going to go over to a couple places in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 7, and Jesus is teaching here on the Bible doctrine of prayer. I think prayer becomes one of the things that that we oftentimes in Christianity are short-sighted on. We don't pray enough, or we don't pray sincerely, or we don't pray and that really we need to lay things out before the Lord. But Jesus is teaching here in Luke chapter 11 and verse 1 on the Bible doctrine of prayer, and he says, "And it came to pass that as he," talking about Christ, "was praying in a certain place." Now that alone right there, as you open up verse 1, ought to tell you and I something, that Christ was deity, God in the flesh, and here he was, a part of his daily routine, praying, and often went to a place alone to pray. So he's praying in a certain place, and when he ceased, but he had here his disciples with him, one of his disciples said unto him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." And he said unto them, notice this now, "When you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And then he said unto them, notice this now, "Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. And I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." And then verse 11, "If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" So one of the things we're talking about when you look at here in this, Jesus teaching this Bible doctrine on prayer, several things jump out. One is he kind of gives us a format in praying and recognizing that hallowed be thy name, and praying obviously to our Father which is in heaven. But notice there he talks about, you know, just day by day. It doesn't say give us our things that we want or whatever. It's just one day at a time in verse 3 that we're to ask the Lord. And then not only that, forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And then lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So part of that is really here recognizing that we're sinners, and forgive us, Lord, that even though we know we're saved, even though we know we're on our way to heaven, we still trip and fall once in a while. And I'm going to show you something in the book of Psalms here that David tripped and fell and prayed a prayer of restoration. So, and then talking about here, for everyone that asketh, well, back up to verse 9, ask and it shall be given you. So if you put down tonight, what are you asking for in 2022? What is your request? And you say, well, I don't need anything. I'm not talking about maybe physical things. Looking at it here, it opens up the door in verse 10, verse 11 here of the Holy Spirit. Well, skipping down to verse 13 there, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? So we really need to pray. I think number one is when we look at things through here, one day at a time, asking God for provisions along the way, thanking Him for blessings along the way. Be aware of any sin or wrongdoing that we commit along the way, and because our sin can hinder our prayer life, and that. So therefore, we want to make sure we keep that open to the Lord. And so, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you. And then everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. To him that knocketh, then it shall be opened. So here becomes the model. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 6 and the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus again giving us this revelation here about prayer. And in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 8, he said, "Be ye not therefore like unto them, for your Father know what things ye have need of before you ask Him." Now, I thought that was interesting when he opens this up in Matthew on the Sermon on the Mount. And before you and I even pray, before we even enter into 2022, God knows exactly what we need and knows exactly where we're at. We just need to learn to walk with Him, and but not to be afraid to ask and to seek and to seek out His will and His direction. So, and then he says after this manner in verse 9, Pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, again, the same model that he gave in Luke, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever, amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So if you're carrying anything from 2021 or previous years into 2022, make sure that it's not anything that would be that you're holding against someone. That here you want to make sure that your heart is clean before the Lord, and that you're willing to forgive those that maybe have wronged you or said something wrong or done something wrong or whatever. We find here that we need to be willing to forgive, and mainly for our own benefit, to be able to forgive and to be able to move forward. So this is our revealing. And then Jesus gives us here in the seventh chapter encouragements to pray. And, some people will pray in church, and then some people don't want to pray in public. I understand that. I remember when I first started out in Christianity and I didn't want to pray in public. But I think the main thing is to learn to have a prayer life individually and pray on your own, and to make prayer a matter of importance in your life daily as a Christian. If you need to, if it'll help you, get a journal and journal your prayers, what you're praying for. And then you can journal off as God answers those prayers or meets those needs. But notice the encouragements here to pray. It says in Matthew 7 and verse 7, "Ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and for he that seeketh findeth, to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you to whom if his son ask bread will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish will he give him a serpent? If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good gifts to them that ask him?" So when you think about it here, sometimes the things that, you know, maybe we have not because we ask not. And so we need to really think about what it is that we're focused on, and what we're praying for and what we're asking for and what we're seeking, and then what we're knocking persistently and asking God for as we look at this. You know, you think from time to time, even though people are saved, even though that people maybe know they're on their way to heaven, sometimes occasionally somebody will get off track and somebody will commit a sin and somebody will do something that they know that's not right, and they need to correct that. From time to time, somebody will come to me in the congregation. They'll say, "Pastor, I'm really struggling with this, and I, you know, just pray for me that I can get a handle on this or whatever is going on." And so this obstacle of sin really becomes a major hurdle. Go back to Matthew, or excuse me, Psalm Psalm 51. So if you do commit a sin, or you do something that happens, the main thing is to return back to the Lord as quickly as possible. David found that in his life. David was a man after God's own heart. David was a man that loved the Lord, but David was also a man that got sidetracked. And why did he get sidetracked? He was in the wrong place at the wrong time and committed lust, and then that lust followed through to commit sin and fell in love with Bathsheba, and then took another step farther and had Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, killed in the battle. And then he also paid a heavy price for that by losing a child. But notice when David decided to come back to God. Notice in verse 1 of Psalm 51. And here is an Old Testament prayer. I think one of the best in the Old Testament that you can pray. And he says here, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies." Notice what he says now, "Blot out my transgressions." David knew what his sin was. David was coming before the Lord and confessing that sin. He had committed adultery, he committed murder, he had committed these sins against the Lord, and now he's coming back. So he's asking God to have mercy on him and forgive him of those sins. Then he says here, verse 2, "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." Here was a man that was seeking God, and a man after God's own heart, and yet he felt thoroughly unfinished and needed to be cleansed again and come back. He said in verse 3, "I acknowledge my transgressions." Right there is a key where you see repentance. "And my sin is ever before me," David says. So when he gets to this, I mean, it was like there all the time. And he comes really asking for repentance. And he says, "I acknowledge my transgression." Nobody will ever be saved until they recognize they're a sinner. Nobody will ever come to Christ until they recognize that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and they need to repent of that sin. So David, here in verse 3, was repenting to God that he had done wrong. Notice in verse 4, "And when we commit sin against thee," David says, "and thee only, have I sinned. I've done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest." So when we sin against God. When we do something wrong against his will, we violate his scriptures. And so notice in verse 5, he does recognize, David does, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Boy, that verse 5 is so true, because David inherited that sin nature that it talks about in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. But he said, "Behold," in verse 6, "thou desirest truth," Psalm 51:6, "desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice." Notice in verse 9, "Hide thy face from my sins," David said, "and blot out all mine iniquities, and create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." So what will separate you and I from the joy of our salvation is sin every time. Whatever that sin might be, it'll separate us from the joy of our salvation and from loving the Lord. And David recognized that. And David now is coming, confessing, repenting of that sin, coming back to the Lord, and then asking the joy of his salvation to be returned unto him. "Deliver me from," he says in verse 14, "from blood guiltlessness, O God, thou God of my salvation. My tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness, O Lord, upon thou my lips, my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering, and the sacrifice of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." So really David's saying here, there's no amount of sacrifice that I can bring. What David did, to obey is better than sacrifice. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And David knew that. He said, "Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifice of righteousness and with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. And then shall they offer bullocks upon thy altar." Now let's go to 1 Chronicles and chapter 4 on this theme of prayer tonight. And when you think about it, Jesus gave us the example and the model prayers of how we should pray, how we should pray, what we should pray for. And then we also, by looking at David here, realize that when we do get off track, when we do commit sin, even after we're saved, if we do something we know is not right, and we carry a heavy burden. And so Psalm 51 becomes a model for us to look at David's life and to be able to glean from, to get back and restoring the joy of our salvation. So and that is so important. I don't know, maybe 2022 you look at it and you say, what is the goals? What is the intent of 2022? I don't know about you, but as a pastor, I would just love to see people coming back to the house of God, back to church, back to the Lord's house, back to worship. And every Sunday since we started live streaming, I get text from somebody in the congregation, thanking us for the live streaming. Or they might also be, if we have a technical issue, they might be pointing out, I could see it or I couldn't hear it or whatever is going on. But the point of it is getting people back into the house of God, back to church. And you say, when you look at it, there's about 22%, I'd say, congregations. I saw this on Fox News the other day. They were showing that churches across the board around America, church attendances are still down about 22% of where they were at pre-COVID. And so there's still people. I mean, I could stand here tonight and go right down the list and people that was here before the COVID hit, and now they're not in church. They're not going to church anywhere. And but if you talk to them and get a hold of them and talk to them, Pastor, I'm coming back. I got a text today from a family said, I'm coming back. I'll be back, and just not there yet. And, I wanted to reach out. Well, what are you waiting for? Just come on back. And but people are reserved. And I'll tell you what, we need to get back to the house of God. And so maybe 2022 is one of those prayers that we pray this year, is the time to get back to the house of God. So when you look at the Old Testament, though, there's a man in the Bible here by the name of Jabez, J-A-B-E-Z, in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And when you look at the Old Testament prayers, here's one of the briefest and yet one of the greatest prayers of all time. And it's a personal prayer. When you think about, well, who was Jabez? Jabez was an honorable man in Judah, and no really special Bible character of any way. But the prayer that he prayed was an amazing prayer. And when you open up 1 Chronicles chapter 4, it's really talking about the posterity of Judah and Caleb, and the line of Caleb, talking about some of the genealogy. And so evidently Jabez was through the genealogy of Caleb. So when you get down to verse 9, look at it. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez because I bear him with sorrow. But notice the brief prayer. And it's just one verse. And that it's not a prayer like David prayed over in Psalm 51. This is just a prayer here that Jabez, the Bible says in verse 10, called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, and that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. So you notice that prayer of Jabez here. God granted him that which he requested. Then I go over to Luke chapter 11. The Bible talks about there, ask and to seek and to find. You and I are to knock on God's door. And what is it tonight that we are requesting? What is it that you're requesting? What is it that you are asking God for in 2022? That's all Jabez was doing right here. And so I want to give you four simple thoughts when you look at it. The Bible just says that Jabez was an honorable man. He was the son of loved of his mother. And she called his name, not his father. But he makes these petitions. Nothing wrong with these petitions. Matter of fact, if you want to adopt these petitions, you might want to underline these, and you can adopt this prayer of Jabez and make it your own personal prayer in 2022. And so notice the first one. petition number one, and it's all right here in verse 10. And it simply says, "Oh, that thou would bless me indeed." And when you look at it, he was more honorable, it says here, but he said, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed." So point number one is that you and I would ask God this year that he would bless you beyond measure and abundance and by putting him first, and that God's blessings would be evident in our lives. And so this was a request, but it was a request, I really believe here, for spiritual power. It was a request for spiritual victory. And it was a request for unusual power that was given in that. And let me give you a comparative verse. Hang on to this and go to Genesis. Genesis 32. And when you look at chapter 32 and you get, and you're beginning here, Jacob, and this great prayer of Jacob here was a request. Jacob went on, notice this, in Genesis 32 and verse 1, Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him, and when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's host," and he called the place, name of that place, Mahanaim. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, unto the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, "Thus shall ye speak unto my lord Esau, thy servant Jacob, saith thus, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed there until now, and I have oxen and asses and flocks and men servants and women servants, and I have sent to tell my lord that I may find grace in thy sight." And then the messengers returned to Jacob. We came to thy brother Esau, and he also cometh to meet thee, 400 men with him. And Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him and the flocks and the herds and the camels and the two into two bands. And he said, "If Esau come here to the one company and smite it, then the other company which shall is left shall escape." And Jacob said, "O God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, and Lord which sayest unto me, return into thy country, to thy kindred, and I will dwell with thee, and I am not worthy of the least of all thy mercies and all thy truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant, for with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands." So when you look at it here, really, what was one of the prayers of Jacob here in this text of Scripture, and it goes on down through chapter 32 and into chapter 33, was to make that relationship right with Esau, his brother. And what's interesting to see is how that the two comes back together and to love Esau as his brother. So when you think about it here, when you think about the prayer of Jabez, it was really a prayer of blessing. So when you're asking God for blessings this year, you may get blessings that you have no way to identify. You may get blessings. You say, "God, I don't know where that came from, but evidently God has answered that." But here, Jabez's prayer was, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed." So there's point number one in your prayer this year. It could be simply that, "God, that you would bless me this year." And stay focused on it. Second thing is, look at what he says here in this verse 10. "And enlarge my coast." Interesting word, isn't it? Enlarge my coast. You know, it really, that kind of speaks to the dissatisfaction in the present attainment. It speaks really of added responsibility. It speaks of battles that, that when you think about this year, in 2022, some of us in the congregation, you may fight a spiritual battle this year. You might fight a health issue this year. You might fight another challenging issue this year. But here, I think the prayer was, "God, that you would enlarge my coast, that my growth would be spiritual, that I would grow in the Lord and to be able to serve you." And so when you think about it here, that we need to be dissatisfied with really the things in this present world, and to realize that God, we want him to enlarge our coast and to have his blessings upon us. Notice the third thing that he says here in this prayer is that thy hand might be with me in verse 10. That thy hand might be with me. And when you look at that, so no matter what God does this year, you know, this is the year of the 65th anniversary of our church. And I think one of the things that we look at and think about, the manifold blessings of the church over the last 65 years. I can think of many things down through the 65-year history of God's blessings along the way. One thing I'd always like to know is how many people have been saved and come to Christ in the last 65 years, that's what really matters down through the history of the church. I have no idea. My guess would be in 65 years, thousands have come to Christ through the ministry of Calvary Baptist Church in Wayne, First Baptist Church in Canton, and Bethel Youth Camp in Hawks, Michigan, that thousands of people have come to know Jesus Christ as personal Savior. That's the mission. That's the goal. That's the blessings that we want. So one of our prayers should be simply this year is that, God, that thy hand might be upon us, that your hand would be upon the ministry, your hand would be upon our teachers and workers, that your hand would be upon all that we do, that God with us makes life joyful and that and joyous, and God also with us makes life victorious and also rewarding. Hold your place there in Chronicles, but go over to John's Gospel, John's Gospel chapter 4. And when you look at here, God with us makes life rewarding. And, you know, sometimes blessings come from ways that we cannot imagine. And that we just need to learn to trust the Lord, stay focused on Him. John chapter 4, verse 35 and verse 36, verse 37. Say not, John 4, verse 35, say not, there are yet 4 months, then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. I sent you to reap that whereupon you bestowed no labor, and other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. So when you think about it right here in that scripture, how important is that this year? You know, we just need to be seed sowers and plant the seed everywhere we go. And then sometimes, wherever you go, you're going to get the harvest. You never know, just like you're saying. You're planting seed, Nita, at work. And one of these days, as people are paying attention, watching that, as you pursue any of that, God may just rejoice and give you blessings of seeing somewhat one or more of those people coming to know Christ as their Savior. So, herein he says, one soweth, another reapeth. I sent you to reap that wherein ye bestowed no labor, and other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. So if you really think about it, we build one upon another, and so we need to pray that thy hand, God, would be upon us. And then the fourth thought in verse 10 that really heareth this prayer of Jabez is that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. He says here that thou... that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And then God granted him that which he requested. So maybe our prayer should be this year, God, keep me from evil, keep me from wrongdoing, don't let me fall off the band, help me to stay true and faithful. And, you know, every year it seems invariably that you can look at Christianity and you can see people that served the Lord a year before and this year they're not serving the Lord. Why is that when you think about it? So one of the prayers of Jabez is right here is that God would be faithful and and that he here that thou would keep him and keep us from evil. God alone can deliver us from sin, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, and sin stops God's blessings. Always in the scripture, when you think about it, sin will stop God's blessings. So we want to keep the things open between our relationship with God, and sin grieves rather than bringing pleasure. So here's four key thoughts tonight that I want you to think about, and I'd encourage you, if you have not made out your own list, if you've not kind of refocused yourself for 2022, I think it's always kind of, I never got big into resolutions, you know, I guess, you know, if you're going to resolve to do or to not do something, if you want to do resolutions, that's fine. You know, I'm not going to preach against resolutions. But really, resolutions are just making a decision that you're going to resolve to either do something or not do something. And so however you want to look at your resolutions for 2022, or maybe you just want to adopt this prayer of Jabez for this year. Number one, ask God, oh, that thou would bless me indeed. So nothing wrong with that. Jabez did that. Jabez asked God to bless him. You and I should do the same and asking God to bless my life individually, bless my family's life, bless our church family's life, bless America. And God bless America. And so whatever your prayer is and wherever that would lead you, oh, that thou would bless me indeed. That is number one. Number two is enlarge my coast. You know, I was over there just talking with Angie a little bit on the other side before coming into the service. And we're talking about Faith Bible Institute. And she said, you know, they're getting ready to go. They're going to start, I think, on the 18th. And that coming up here later in January. They got 24 people registered for that. And this Sunday, one of our new members, Paul and Susan down here, Gil, they're going to share a testimony with us about the impact or whatever's going on in Faith Bible Institute. And I told Angie over there, I said, you know what it really needs to be? It just needs to be a springboard of helping disciple people, helping them to learn the Bible, helping them to grow, and it's really helping them to enlarge their coast, enlarge their vision. I think Faith Bible Institute is a great thing. I think anything, whether you take it to whatever ministry it might be, Sunday school or Wednesday night or a Bible study, Bread Breakers, AM Connection, anything we can do where we can expand. You got to ask yourself this, what are you going to do different in 2022 that you didn't do in 2021? How are you going to expand yourself? And you say, well, how can I do that? Maybe here's one way, if you think about it. Commit yourself to Bible memorization and scripture memorization. Tammy and Rosalind has worked on putting this together. They didn't really mention, or nobody really mentioned this morning, but take that in the Bible or in your bulletin from the Bible that you have there, and it's spelled out very clearly, day one, day two, day three, all the way through, and focus on those scriptures. And if you want to take it a step further, not only meditate and focus on those, commit them to memory. Go to Bible memory and that. So, you know, I was a little bit surprised. I asked our Sunday school class this morning, how many of you know the books of the Bible? I don't know how many was in the room today, 20, 25 or whatever. I don't know what it was. But only about five hands went up. So here's a good thing for you. Now, once we started saying the books of the Bible all the way through, then everybody kind of jumped in and followed along. But, you know, memorize the books of the Bible. Take a verse. Take one verse. Start somewhere and memorize Scripture. That'd be one way you can enlarge your close and build your spiritual life in Christ. And so God enlarge my coast. And that for the Lord. And then the third thought was that thy hand might be with me, that God's hand was with Jabez, and that should be our prayer. Whatever we do this year for the 65th anniversary and throughout the ministry this year, we want God's presence and God's power and God's leading and God on the throne all the way through every step of the way through what we're doing along the way. Without God, the rest of it is in vain. So God, hear that thy hand might be upon me. And then that fourth thought was that thou would keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. I'll tell you what, one of the things that pulls on a pastor's heart more than anything else is to see somebody that used to go to church or used to read the Bible or used to serve the Lord, and then they decide to throw in the towel and quit. What causes that? Well, it could be many different reasons, but it all boils down to one thing. Sin enters the picture somewhere that causes somebody to begin to drift away. And once you begin to drift away, and that's exactly what David did, and that's why I wanted to go to Psalm 51 tonight, is to realize that if a person begins to drift away from the Lord, is to realize they need to come back to Him. That's what David did. God, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. If I have sinned, I repent of my sin and ask you to forgive me, but restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Four simple thoughts in the prayer of Jabez tonight. If you don't have your own four challenges, if you didn't stay up late making New Year's resolutions for some of you were long in bed before 12 o'clock midnight, I would guess. And you know, I heard. Did I hear you right, Tony? You were in bed at 9 o'clock, or that night, something like that. So you know, we're all getting older when you don't even. Now I did. I stayed up to watch the ball drop in New York. And as soon as the ball dropped, as soon as it hit 2021, boom, the TV and the lights went out, and that was it. But I forced myself. I said, you know, I got to stay awake long enough just to, you know, to celebrate a new year coming in. So what's your goal? What's your objective? If you don't have any, then I encourage you tonight to adopt these four key thoughts from the prayer of Jabez First Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10. Yes, sir. You don't remember Rosalind's kiss on the forehead? Well, I tell you, we're going to have to work on you, boy. And yeah. How many of you stayed awake until 12 o'clock and welcomed in the new year? Whoa, one, two, three, four, five, maybe five of us. and that. So like I said, I waited till the ball dropped and everything, whatever. And I said, that's it. We're into 2022. And I was out like a light. So, and good to see you tonight. Let's pray. And we'll go home. Heavenly Father, God, tonight we love you. And God, we thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the Bible that teaches us through the Lord Jesus Christ and the ministry of prayer and the encouragement to pray and how important it is that we look and we ask of you things that we desire and that we seek those things. And God, that we knock and pray consistently, even if you don't answer right away, God, that we are faithful in our prayer life and we ask for your blessings and your hand upon our lives. May we take here just this simple prayer of a humble man, honorable man in Judah by the name of Jabez that prayed this simple one-verse prayer here that had four key elements to it in his prayer life. And God, that simply in that, at the end of that verse, the Bible simply says that you granted his request. So God, tonight, as we seek your will, we seek your love, we seek your guidance, may you grant our request for 2022. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen.